Baruch Hashem, Mischia to learn Kedushas Levi, which every single day, every single minute is supposed to be special before Hanukkah, to enter into the Kedushas of Kedushas Levi. Besides on the parashiyas, besides the Kedushas Levi that we have on the parashiyas, oh, you might not have this chalik with you. It's in the second chalik. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, I should have told you. It's my fault. The Kedushas Levi in this has special sections dealing with Purim and with Hanukkah, with Yom Tovim. So it's in the second chalik. I didn't realize that. I know that many of you bring Svarim. So in the Kedushas Levi, the ones that have it, that's so you have the Kedusha, it's in the Kedusha Chamishas. The Kedusha Chamishas. So you have to look, if you have in the ones that are done with two volumes, it's not going to be in the first volume. No, not Chamishas, I made a mistake, nothing. Revius, I'm sorry. Kedusha Revius, yeah. On page Tav Kuf, so the first page it says Tav Kuf Hay on it. Kedusha Revius, I thought. Let's learn. It's going to probably take us this time and next time. Really, it's important to learn all the Kedushas. And there's a Kabbalah, this is something that when you teach children Chassidus, that they begin learning Chassidus, Chassidus Swarm with the Kedushas of the Kedushas Levi, for the Yom Tovim. That's why you're going to see how he says things out here very, very clearly. He spells things out very, very clearly. And it's less difficult than many other sections of Kedushas Levi. Everybody knows the disagreement between Bisham and Vesilo regarding how we are to fulfill the requirement of Mahadrim and Menahadrim to light the Hanukkah in the most beautiful way. In the way that Mahadrim and Menahadrim, so everybody knows that Bishamai holds that the first night of Hanukkah, you light 8 candles. Madlik Shmoyne, Mikan Ve'elach, Parchis Ve'haylach. And then it decreases. The second night is 7, then 6 and 5, and so on. Beis Hillel, I remember, of course, we pass night Beis Hillel. Hanukkah is Ches Neiros Ve'halacha Ke Beis Hillel, right? The word Hanukkah. Beis Hillel, I remember, Yom Rishon, Madlik Echad. Beis Hillel holds that the first night you light 1 candle, Mikan Ve'elach, Mois Ve'haylach, and then you add 2 and 3 as we do. Rama Chazal, the Gemara says, time of the Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai's source for this? What's the reasoning? So time of the Beis Shammai, Keneged Parei HaChag. You know that there are many connections between Sukkot and Hanukkah. You know that, but we're not going to go into it right now. The Yom Tovim of Sukkot and Hanukkah has unbelievable connection. Besides that, they're next to each other on the calendar, they have tremendous connections. So Beis Shammai, we're not going to go into this right now, Beis Shammai says that the same way that on Sukkot, we know that we begin with the 70 Kabbanas connected to the 70 nations of the world, and then they decrease until we get to Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is one carbon. But the order of Sukkot is that the number of sacrifices each day is decreasing until Shemini Atzeres. So Beis Shammai says that the lighting of the menorah is, the order of the lighting of the menorah is based upon, is modeled after the Seder of Sukkot, which goes from a larger number of sacrifices to a smaller number of sacrifices. Connected to the time of the Beis Hillel, and the reason of the Beis Hillel, Mishum the Malam Bakaidish. Beis Hillel applies the principle of Malam Bakaidish that we increase holiness, not decrease. We increase holiness. Malamari, we don't decrease holiness, so we move from 1, 2, 3, till 8. So Beis Hillel says that is the guiding principle in Halakhas Neiros. Malam Bakaidish, Malamari. Mirdipli. So the Kedushas Levi has a very, very profound and very beautiful explanation of this Machlaikas that really tells us what the Yontif is about, and it gets us ready for Yontif. He says, it seems that, near the pligum means it seems that this is the deeper meaning of the disagreement. The Yadu is none. Im chaser la'adam eza dvarim shitzara. If a person is missing things that he needs, kagai, for instance, shuhu ra'ev vitzame, somebody is hungry, or somebody is thirsty, or chaser lavushim, or he needs clothing. So the Rebbe explains that when a person is in this matzav of being chaser, of not having what he needs, so really the Rebbe says that there are two problems. He says, "Azayesh lo hishtekikus sheyismali mitzayinu chesrayna." The first thing is that the person feels the etzem hadavah, the pain of that reality that he's a Baal Chisaron, that he doesn't have what he needs. It's besides being hungry and thirsty and cold. Besides that, there is the terrible feeling of being a Baal Chisaron, of not having what you need, of being in need. As the mitzvah of being a person in need causes anguish. That's what he says. He has a longing. He has this longing that that what's missing should be filled. Yeshua is at tsar, and this causes him anguish. Shechosol hadaver, because he's missing mashenavshem shteikikalov. Mashenavshem shteikikalov, that which he needs. So that's the first thing. And two, the gam yeshua tsar over oven v'simon v'asmo. Now besides the fact that he has to face the bitter reality that he's a Baal Chisaron, that he's lacking, that he's missing. Besides that, he's also hungry and thirsty and cold. So let's say now he's gotten the information that there's going to be a delivery. There's going to be a delivery of bread and water, of food. And it's going to take a couple of hours to get here. This person is thirsty and hungry, and the delivery is on its way. So, v'imbo lechem v'mayim v'makom rochayk, so the Rebbe says, afal pi shalai ochal v'shos adayim, even though he hasn't yet tasted anything, he hasn't had a thing to eat. In other words, as far as filling what's missing, he's in the exact same situation that he was before he got the phone call that there's a delivery on its way, right? He's in the exact same masif. Nothing has changed. But krayesh le simcha. But he already has simcha. Why? Sheyedeya sheyesh dover shimalech esfayna. Because he already doesn't see himself. At this point, he already doesn't see himself as a Baal Chisaron. He already sees himself, although of course he's hungry and he's thirsty. But since he's told that in 2 hours, the delivery is going to arrive with your food, and with the clothing, whatever he needs. So already, since he knows, he knows there's something that's going to come to fill that emptiness. Still, he is hungry and thirsty. I've mentioned a number of times in Shul that the Vav from Chavetz Chaim, Chavetz Chaim, who said that there was a husband and wife that they were desperately poor. Desperately poor. And they, you know, in those days in Russia, you also had a lottery. It wasn't like here, you know, 100 million tons, but what it was a way of very, very quickly pulling a person out of poverty and misery. So, the Chofetz Chaim said that there was this couple that was so poor, and the man discovered that they were the winners. Baruch Hashem, they won the lottery. So he comes home to the miserable, the horrible, miserable little shack, that hole. He comes home, and he wakes up his wife, and he says, whatever, chayla, chayla. He wakes up and says, we're rich, chayla, we're rich. And the two of them start doing a rikud, you know. And the neighbors wonder what's going on. The hips are tumult, they hear a rikud, there's no singing, a rikud. Who's happy in such a place? So the neighbors come there and they look through the window, they open the door and they see Chayla, whatever, Yankala, dancing and saying, we're rich. So the people look at them and say, Nebuch, they lost their minds. They're so hungry. They're out of their mind. Look, they're crazy. They're dancing in this, what do you mean, rich? So they say, Yankala, is this shaken? What's that? You lost your mind, Yankala. You're rich. This is wealth. What is this? So he said, see, he was holding in his hands the tickets. He said, not yet, but we have the winning tickets. So Chavetz Chaim said, that's what it means to be a Yid in this world. That's what it means to be a Jew in this world. Not yet, but we have the winning tickets. It's a very deep word. It's the Messias of being hungry and of being cold, whatever it is that's missing from a person. What makes it unbearable is that you don't know how it's ever going to, you don't believe, you don't know, how is it possible that it's ever going to be fulfilled? How is it ever going to end? The chasarim. When a person believes b'emunah shleimah that he has the winning tickets, so then it becomes bearable. So the Kedushas Levi is saying that that even though this person, of course, is still hungry and is still thirsty and cold, but when he receives the news that the food is on the way, so he already has simcha. And after he was able to eat and to drink, now he has the additional simcha that he's cashed in the winning tickets. The Baruch Hashem, he's full, he's eating, it's good. Hashem is Baruch, here was Simonai that the Ben Shalom quenched his thirst. The calls are ba'odim mechazir and yedeya ha'ech lamalas chasoinai. And this is in the case of a person who is lacking and he doesn't know how is he ever going to overcome that? What's going to be? For instance, ha'chelech b'midbar. This would apply, this scenario, this description that we just learned, would apply to a person who's a ha'chelech b'midbar, somebody's in the desert. He's in terrible trouble. He doesn't have food or water. He doesn't have anything to wear. The proper clothing, whatever. It's everything is ruined. So look how he spells it out. It's almost like he's writing it like giving a shiur. He's giving it to us so clearly. So he says that person in the desert has two levels of tsar, of anguish. Echad, the first, shenav shemishtaikeg. The first thing is this terrible longing of not knowing what's going to be, and he's just a Baal Chisaron. I don't have what's going to be with me. And once the Baruch Hu has helped him, and a person is coming from far away to bring him, and he sees him, whatever, from a distance, and he's coming with some food and water and so on, and malbushim and clothing, as I came to Shireish, he sees a person coming and waving all the stuff. I'm here. So already he's filled with gratitude that the Rebbeinu Shalom has brought him a Yeshua that's going to be Memali's Chasaron. That's going to give him what he's lacking. The Kevin Shayesh may pass Pesaloi. Once a person knows, the expression pass Pesaloi means he has the bread in the basket. So it's another way of saying, even though he hasn't eaten it yet, but it's here. I have it. Right? I have it. It's the winning ticket. I have it. So if the Rebbe says, yes, listen, he already has immediately, he has joy. He sees that he has the ability now, he has the ability to satiate this need. Even though he's still starving, and he's half naked. Take it from Yad Mukhiv Litan Shah Vahidal Kalbarish Mind Rats. Immediately, even at this point, he must begin to praise the Creator of heaven and earth, to thank him. Asher Himsi Lai Terafla Nafshai, who has brought him salvation. Vyeshla Pas Basal, and he has bread in the basket. From them, however, Adai Nirov and Vitsimon Batma Yeshla Ksasar. Look, let's face it, he's still having a little bit of a hard time because he hasn't eaten in a while and he's thirsty. Once he's already eaten and had put on the clothing and had a drink and so on, then now he has the additional tanuk, the additional pleasure. Now he has the additional pleasure that he is already full and he's fine and he's of glad heart. And now there's a second level of gratitude, of thankfulness, and that's for feeling satiated and full. As it says in Pasuk, and you shall eat and be satiated, and you shall bench Hashem, you shall bless Hashem. So this is a person who's in the desert. Right? We understand two levels of gratitude, because there are two levels of chisaron that have been satisfied. One is the very fact that I don't have and I'm desperately in need, and it's a terrible thing not to know. It's a terrible thing to feel that you don't have, that you're Baal Chisaron. That's Aleph. And Beis is to actually have the Chisaron filled. So, that's for the person who's in this situation, who's in the desert and so on. And anybody who went through difficult times, and Muhammad and so on, that was always the most horrible thing, not knowing where you're going to get your next piece of bread. The Jews who went through the Milchama, my father told me all of them, that was the most horrible thing. There was no Eitzah. There was never anything. and you didn't know what you were going to do. There was no way to fill the chesaron, that horrible, horrible pain in the stomach. Not like when we say, you know, in between breakfast and lunch, or lunch and supper, I'm starving. Which in my house, it's an obscene word. You know, I'll have to say starving. But you see, starving, I'm hungry. I'm hungry when I'm hungry. We should never know from what it means to be hungry, but it means to be hungry. And Yom Kippur is hunger. It's Bechlal not hungry either. When you don't know, at least all of us know, and spend half the time thinking about during davening Yom Kippur, you know that Bezer Hashem, if the Tekiyah Shofar is going to be fine. Do we know what it feels like that day after day, day after day? Thank God. We don't know what that's like. We don't understand what that's like. So that not knowing is unbearable. So the Rebbe says, Omnam Yishu B'Yishu B'Beisa, somebody who's home. V'al kol mucha lefanav, right? Like us, Baruch Hashem. Who has what he needs? He has his food. As I kodem sh'achal v'shasa, so before eating and drinking, ein li boitoy v'rak l'achil v'shasiyah. He doesn't feel that he's a balchisaron. He doesn't feel that there's a terrible need. Thank God most of us are worried about not to eat. We're nervous about overeating. It's the first time in the history of our people that many Jews have to worry about overeating. There's never such a concept to overeat. So, in our situation, the Rebbe says, before you sit down to eat, you don't really feel a chisaron, you don't feel anything that's any reason in particular to give a bracha. I mean, the Torah tells us that we have to make a bracha before we eat. But as I cut him shachal b'shasa, ain't li by tali rak la'achilas shasiyah. All that you're missing is the actual meal. If your stomach is empty, but your heart is fine. Your mind and your heart are fine. Just the stomach could use a little bit of a recharge, a refill. V'achas shachal b'shasa, and after you eat and then you drink, then you really feel like. Is full, then you feel mivarchas Hashem, you feel like thanking the Rebbe Shalom. Because there's only one thing that you feel that Hashem fills for you at that moment. That was my stomach. Or whatever I needed that was at home and I got it. But not the need, not being needy. And the tzius of being someone who's in need. And the tzius of being in need. That this person is not familiar with. While Elo Halcha Joachim Chasar Mikol Yeshlam Shnei Steikikus. But people who are schlepping from place to place, people who are not home or don't have a home, God forbid, they have two levels of longing. Because they have two levels of longing, they also have more intense joy in life. Therefore, they have two levels of simcha. Because they have two levels of longing, they have two levels of joy. One simcha is that Baruch Hashem, Hashem's Baruch has brought him away to no longer be lacking. And then the second thing is to be able to actually have the thing. And this is what David says, and you know that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh established that all those who believe in the first of Baal Shem Tov say this before Shabbos, right? That's Hoidu that we say before Mincha on Friday. Yoidu Hashem Chazdei. So David says in Tehillim, Yoidu Hashem Chazdei ki yizbiya nefesh shekeika. Hashem, you have satiated the soul that was thirsting. That was longing. And then he says, V'nefesh re'eva, and the soul that was hungry, milei tov, you filled with good. So the Mepharshim are wondering about that. Why is David saying, it seems to be twice. But it says in Pasuk, why does that have to say, ki yizbiya nefesh keika, you've satiated the soul, the person who was longing, and then again, V'nefesh re'eva, milei tov, and you filled the hungry soul with all that is good. Why twice? The Rebbe says, L'chari hu keifa loshen, it seems to be repetitious. Well, if you mash a kasav, no, but according to what we learned yesterday, we can understand. Shahal chemid bari is that because Dovnach is talking about Jews who are walking through a desert, that's what that kapitel is about, who are walking through a desert, crossing over an ocean and so on, but that particular pasuk is talking about someone who's crossing through a desert, which is the way that we live during the 6 days of the week and how we're thirsting for ruchnias, for Hashem, by the time we come to Shabbos, and we're the whole 6 days we're walking through a desert. That's how we should come to Shabbos, with his shtoikikus, with a thirst and with a longing for what? For tefillah, for Torah, for the family to be together and for Shabbos. Well, if you mash a kasav, he says, we understand. Shahol chimidbari is nafshon bem tisat of Hashnei Devar. Someone who is wandering through a desert, the soul is longing for two things. What's the end of this? When is this going to be over? What am I? I don't know where I'm going to get a glass of water. I don't know where I'm going to get a meal. And the second thing is, the second one is that I'm hungry. The next side. And once the Baruch Shalom has been good, as it says there in Tehillim, and the Baruch Shalom has brought that person to Ir Moshe, to a city, to a settlement, to a place, which is in the Shabbos, then Haraivim v'Hatzmeim, Afal Kishlei Ochel v'Shalso Adayim, even though they haven't yet eaten or had anything to drink, Yoyd L'Hashem Chazdai, they already give thanks to Hashem. That's how the Rebbe is explaining that Tehillim. That's why it says, Yoyd L'Hashem Chazdai. They're already thanking the Marshal for his kindness that he's brought them to the place where they're going to eat, even though they didn't have a taste yet. Aki is BNF Shekek, that's what it means, Hashem. You have satiated the soul that is longing by telling me that showing me that it's that I'm going to have what I need. Kevin Shabali Yemaisha will pass the saddle of fun since he's now home. And there's bread in the basket, his taikikusahil halachlai. He had over the fun of Lamalas Kasoin, and now he can fill his need. Chazal, and Chazal have explained this. That a person, even if the Gemara says this, the Gemara is referring to all different types of type of desire, not just for food. The same thing the Gemara talks about a person who's married. A person is married, a husband and wife, and it's just that she hasn't yet gone to the mikveh. But since he knows that she's going to be permitted, so that they're going to be permitted to each other, it's just a matter of time, the Gemara refers to that as pas basala, that the bread is in the basket, meaning even though right now we can't partake of this desire, but we know that we will be able to miss Hashem after the mikveh, so therefore the taiva, the longing, is already very much quieted down, because there's pas basala. Pas basala means that the person knows that there's an eitz, there's a way out of the chisar, that the need is not forever, but when a person feels that there's no end, so that's unbearable. Right, it's not yet halacha. The word brings in the context of that. In halacha, of yichud, and other inyanim of halacha. Ba'adayin chosah ha'rovin ba'atzimon ba'atzman. Even though the person is still hungry, whatever that type is. Ba'achas sha'akal v'shosah v'tzorek l'varek l'habarve. After the person has already had what to eat and drink and has to say brach and thank Hashem. And that's the second thing the David Melech said. That's, I'm thanking you, David Melech says, the one who's walking in the desert is thanking the Baruch Hu for the second thing, for actually filling me with this good stuff. Again, he's spelling everything out. You see, it's like Mabish Mechayda. He says that when the person didn't know how this was going to be resolved, so that first moment, as I regularly shine, I should bowl upon the double of Malchus. So when the first second that he has that thing, has simcha gedola admaarid. Listen, now he explains the Chanukah candles. It's unbelievable. He's the joy of knowing that it's going to be okay. That simcha is very, very great. That moment. There, the intensity of joy is the first moment. When you see, oh, the person comes with the food, there's a Yeshua. Simply lamat, ubisha hashmir. However, as time moves on, by the second hour, kevet shekvar roa v'dosh b'simcha, since he already has gotten used to this idea, and the initial thrill and excitement of there being a resolution to his dilemma is already sort of fading. Then the smaita simcha, the nature of a person is that the joy then begins to decrease. With each moment, the joy decreases. By the third hour, of course, it's much less. It gets less and less. Therefore, according to halacha, when you hear good news, to begin with, the ideal thing is, if someone has a baby or something good, the ideal situation is, the ideal halacha is to make the bracha immediately. to make it as soon as possible. Why? Because really, it's that first moment that you, it's that first moment when you were worried. You didn't know, am I going to be able to have a baby? Am I going to be okay? Is the baby going to be okay? What's going to be? What's going to be? And not knowing and so on. So that first moment when Chazdei Hashem, the baby is born, and the simcha is so gewaldig, so that's the main time to say the brach is to express one's gratitude, because if that, it's already you don't feel as thankful as you do the first moment. Sh'oz yivarach es Hashem, the simcha v'tzayich leiva. Because then you could really, really, you could really bench Hashem with a full heart. Now, what about, that's the first longing, right? That's the, when you first see this stuff coming, and you know that it's going to be okay, the simchas are unbelievable then. Unbelievable. But when it comes to actually eating, when it comes to the second hunger, the actual hunger for food, not just the feeling of agony not knowing. So when it comes to the eating itself, there, if you had a little bit to eat, right? You haven't eaten in a long time. You're challenging for something. The worst thing you do to somebody like that is to just give a little tiny little drop and say, that's enough, I don't want you to overdo it. And the person's tongue is hanging out. So Beregi Rishon Sha'achal Ma'ad, when he had just a little drop, Vadayin Raiv, he's still hungry, his stomach's not full. So then here it's just the opposite, of course. Simcha Ketana. Initially, the simcha is in the second thing, the simcha is less. In the beginning, the simcha is less. Because he just had a bite. The kevan sha'achal ma'at yoiseh, oh, a little bit more, sa simcha yoiseh gedola. It's greater joy. Racha sha'achal kedei svi, and then finally he's able to, he's able to be full. As I simcha sha'achal. Then the simcha is really gedolah. He wants now to bench Hashem. Kemayim, as it says in Pasuk, V'chalta v'savata v'rachlitz Hashem l'kecha, to eat and to be satiated and to bless Hashem. So we have two different directions moving in here. That first longing and the joy of what? Of discovering that it's going to be okay. There, the joy is most intense, the moment of discovering that it's going to be okay. And then afterwards it gets less. It's like with everything in life. It's like with everything in life. If a person, I remember that, whenever I think of this, I remember that they used to have these, they probably still have them. Maybe they don't. I can't imagine the kids would still be interested in such things. But we used to have these, it was considered to be like the neatest thing. They had these tracks, and you would race the cars around the track. No, I'm talking about these electric things. It was also possible for them to stay on the thing, you know. You're always having a hard time keeping it on the thing. There's a lot of backless methods keeping it. So, I remember that I was making my mother mishigah for this, you know. This particular set, it had like, it went over, you know, and it was like, it was terrific. So I wanted very much to have it. And I was annoying my mother. All different things that I kept on bothering her. And you know, so eventually she capitulated. So I was building, this was like something I was working on for weeks. It wasn't a birthday, it wasn't Hanukkah, it wasn't a Yom Tov, it was a Stam, a greedy little kid, that's all it was. So, you know, I saw in the commercial. So then I got it. So I was all excited. My father walked in and I was putting this thing together and he helped me put it together. And I remember, at the time, I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I remember he turned to my mother and he said something in Hungarian to the effect of, give me half an hour, like, you know, 2 weeks of aggravation, halbashua, yiddish, or whatever it was, the Hungarian yiddish, one or the other, combination usually, that's all Moshe is gonna have for this, whatever, in those days, like, it was $20, you understand, it was an oisha, $20 for a toy, right? It was an oisha. So, once you're ready, you understand that once you already have it, it's ready, the simcha in the store of getting the box, and like, you know, and then coming with it, opening it up, but then after that, it's the readiness, might the simcha. Unfortunately, there are many things like that in life when it comes to some people with marriages like that, and, and was having good things in life. And so afterwards, it's my simcha. Because the main question was, I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to, my parents are never going to get me this toy. I'm going to be like this forever, forever, wandering, you know, in the desert of carlessness. So once that's resolved, and you have Hashem, the toy, so that's the ikka simcha, when you open it up, and the first time around, and then after that, it's already, you know, it loses the excitement there. Certainly it gets much less. The nearer the Zahat time, so now he explains the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's way of looking at everything in the world and Chanukah. And near the Zatam, the Pariach Chag, the sacrifices of Sukkot, Nesmat, and Vaholchim become less and less and less. Sukkot, of course, is what is man, Simcha Seinim. Sukkot is the time of our joy. Is man Simcha Seinim. And the Pariach Chag, Nesmat, and Vaholchim, they become less. Like the Ikkis Simcha Zachag, the Nikkis Man Simcha Seinim. The Sukkot is Man Simcha Seinim. And what's the greatest joy of Sukkot? The Rebbe says, he writes about this in many places, that B'yom HaKippur Nimcha Lanu Avinu Seinu, the greatest joy that we feel in Sukkot is that we're starting off clean, everything beautiful. A brand new year, and I got rid of Yom Kippur, of all the bad stuff, and I'm mamish, mamish, a tzaddik, a kaddish, and I'm starting off, you come in the Sukkot, right, the first, when you say all the tefillahs and the shpizim, and the first night in the Sukkot, wow, it's unbelievable, and the kids are so excited. And then you find sometimes the rest of the week you have to try to convince everybody to come in, right? Nobody has to do that the first night of Sukkot. First night of Sukkot, then afterwards you have to try to pull the chevra in, what's going to be. And so the ikka simcha of Sukkot, the b'yom kippur nimcha l'nu avinu seinu, is because we're forgiven for our avos. And you know that when you do tshuva, we have it, the Bavitcha says this in many places, that when you return to Hashem from love, the Gemara tells us that your Averis are transformed into mitzvahs. The Averis, the Zidonis, Nasa, Kazachis, they become mitzvahs. So Sukkot is unbelievable. What a simcha. All the Averis of this past year are now mitzvahs. Chash HaBeyan HaBim Karim, besides the Shema Elachim. Therefore, B'yom HaRishon Shel Chag, Shenepach HaMashkas, therefore the greatest joy is the first day of Sukkot, because I didn't know what's going to be with me. I don't know what's going to be with my life. You know, so after Yom Kippur, everybody's still sort of waiting for that transformation to take place, and it happens on Sukkot. Okay, Yom Kippur, you're forgiven for everything. But when does it really all change into mitzvahs? And that's why Sukkot is so filled with mitzvahs, and Simcha, the joy of Sukkot, that really happens on Sukkot. Because then, Nepach HaMashkas, until then, I was sort of I was in the desert, not knowing. I didn't know how this was going to be. And then once the transformation takes place, in other words, it's at the very, very beginning. It's before anything. I haven't even been to Lulav and Esrog yet. But as my Gishma Simcha and Mechila Safar is, then you're able to feel that the Rosh was forgiving me for my Averis. And the second day, this already becomes less exciting, less thrilling to us. Becomes less. And it's all explaining Beis Shammai's view that it goes from 8 down to 1. Right? From 8 candles on the first night to 1. So, when they found the jar of oil with the seal of the high priest of the Kohen Gadol, and there was only enough light for one day, and they were able to, a miracle took place, and they were able to light for 8 days. There was only enough for one day. But they needed 8 days, of course, in order to be able to prepare new oil. They didn't know they were going to have a miracle. They didn't know there was going to be anything like strange happening with that oil. That means that that day in the Beis Hamikdash there were two levels of anguish. Like someone who's walking in the desert. Echad, because one was the longing. They desperately wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, the mitzvah of Hashem. How much they loved the mitzvahs, because really, they could have just said, "Listen, you can't." Right? If regular people would say, "So listen, you want to light menorah every day, so give me a couple more jars. I'll add all the menorahs you like." But in the meantime, These were people that weren't like that. They wanted desperately to be able to keep the mitzvah of lighting menorah without there being any interruption or break to the mitzvah. Because it meant a great deal to them. Without going into the holy Indian of Hanukkah, you understand that for them, that interruption meant total devastation. They wanted to keep the light of the Beis HaMikdash going. To keep it going. And they didn't see how that was going to happen. They had enough just for one night. For one candle. They felt a dilemma with no resolution, with no possible way out. It's just, because they're longing to do the mitzvah without any way of doing it for the entire time. And they thought that was it. They're going to wake up and suffer. How are they going to do this? They weren't expecting a miracle. Something that you want very badly and you have no idea how that's ever going to be, as the Yeshua Tzarmi said, causes anguish. That's okay. So first it was the anguish of not knowing how are we going to ever do this, and then the second thing is they felt the actual tzar of not being able to do the mitzvah. No, it was the equivalent of not having the food and not eating and not drinking. They wanted to do the mitzvah. Besides, how are we ever what's going to be with this? We're not going to be able to do this again. So not knowing how to feel, so that's being Baal HaKisaron, feeling that you're Baal HaKisaron, that there's no way out of your problem. And then the second thing is, now what about the mitzvah itself? It's like eating a drink, now what? When they saw the miracle the first night, the Taz says, by way of explaining why do we celebrate Hanukkah 8 days, since it was really only, everybody knows the question. Beis Yosef is already in the Meiri. Before the Beis Yosef, the question of why do we have Hanukkah? What's 8 days? It should only be 7 days. They had enough wool for one night. So the Taz explains, you know that there are thousands of answers to that. And there's far written. But the Taz brings down that something remained of the oil. Something remained from that oil. Kadesh let the Sharveg a little bit so that it shouldn't be empty. Shetishulav Brocha. In order that bracha should descend upon something, there has to be a little bit of something, and that can increase. Then they saw that they saw immediately that there's something amazing that's going on. There's something remarkable that's happening, and that the Rebbeinu Shalom caused it to light for the entire duration of time without using up the oil. And that means that now there seems to be a resolution to our dilemma. But some cholanes that they were able to rely on the miracle. If we could try to imagine what that joy must have been like. First of all, the joy of like the Rosh Hashanah, you're there, and you're doing this for us. And we didn't know how we were going to continue lighting the menorah. We see that you're working at this amazing, amazing gewaltige nes for us that we had no. That you caused a little bit to light for long, and you left behind, and that's how it's working, right? An eighth, and you lose such a thing, and it's burning on and on and on. So, the simcha, the shamai, of course, the shamai is climbing into our souls, or to the neshamas of those tzaddikim at that time, the Beis HaMikdash, and saying the simcha, that initial simcha, that version you're there, there's an answer to the problem, there's a solution to the dilemma. We're not going to be like this. So when they felt the opening of the gates of bracha, the rosh yishdavish yimali tavosim shiyochum l'kai mitzvah sabari, and they saw, we're going to be able to do the mitzvah. We're not going to have to interrupt them in the lighting of the menorah. Baruch Hu Boshamai. Bahaloi san eres. Bahaloi mi zes simcha shirosh nitzvah shay bracha. Had gavaldi ge simcha shiyishdavish yimali tavosim. Because they saw, it's going to be good. My tayvim mibaris, like somebody who's wandering in the desert. Shaboli yimoshev. And he arrives into the city. He's walking around. He thinks he's going to die. And all of a sudden, he sees, he sees there's a city, he's going to have what to eat and drink, so he's already. So that's simcha when he first sets eyes on the city. That's simcha. Amen, adayin l'ro ba'ayin gash mishemim akol shemani yamim v'haykim yisubokim adonis. Still, they didn't yet fill the mitzvah. They saw that something gevaldig is happening, but they didn't have l'maisa, they didn't yet fulfill the mitzvah to be able to fulfill it for the 8 days while the time that they need to prepare new oil. So they didn't have yet in their hands, it's like they didn't eat and drink yet 8 days worth. They weren't full. And they were still hungry for the mitzvah, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Apa piece of lechem lefonav adayin hu. Next page. Tavkuf zayin. Tavkuf zayin. Adayin hu roig. Still hungry. On the ma'achas hashem is brachos lehem neis. Did leak by Shmoni Yom. Now after they were able to light all 8 days. Vach shed leak by Shmoni Yom. As haylam simcha mekima mitzvahs ba'atzim. Now they were mamish. Well, achas kishmak. Every day in a chamitzvah, not a chamitzvah, they felt the simcha is that we did it. We were able to do it. So the simcha there increases from day to day. We're doing it. We're going weiter. More and more we're able to do it. We're able to do it. Now it's like somebody after he's had what to eat and drink. So, as far as the joy of meeting up with Hashem and realizing that he's giving us an Eitzah, that joy is greatest, is most intense the first day, and then it decreases. But as far as actually doing the mitzvahs is concerned, and being able to do it properly, and to get ready to new oil and so on, there is the opposite. As far as simcha is concerned, it's a little bit of simcha in the beginning, and then what's going to be tomorrow, and gets stronger and stronger. So it's like the sacrifices and sukkahs that are decreasing. This is the view of Beis Shammai. The sviel of Beis Shammai holds. Yom Rishon, the first day of Hanukkah, Madlikin Shmoni Nerus Chanukah, light 8 candles. Mikan Velech Prechus Vahelech, and now each day 1 candle less. Why? The Yom Rishon Hay Yosef Simcha. Because Beis Shammai says that the candles are lit in accordance to the level of joy. And the greatest, most powerful, most fiery joy is the first day. Because Beis Shammai is talking about that person who's wandering the desert and he suddenly comes to the city. And that simcha of the first moment is strongest. That's the meaning of the candles. Like the sacrifices get less, so too, because the simcha of sukkahs gets less and less and less as we get accustomed to the idea of having things go our way. So too when it comes to Hanukkah, it gets less and less and less the light of Hanukkah. The time of the Beis Hillel, the view of Beis Hillel, which is the halacha, kfiya b'chin l'shohei lahem, l'yisrael shubay sa'adar, tanuk v'simcha m'kimis yisam v'nai v'asma. Beis Hillel is not focusing on what's going to be, what could be, and it's going to be okay. Beis Hillel who draws into our lives, chsadim gemurim and rachmim, Beis Hillel's inyan is to draw mamish brachas into our lives and gashmis, lamati mesar tzvachim, into our lives, to eat and to drink. So, Beis Hillel is concentrating on the actual tanuk, the actual joy and delight, the simcha mekimis amnar v'asma, that they had to light the menorah each night, to go on and on and on, the increasing joy of being able to fulfill the mitzvah. Like the increasing joy of the person who was able to have another bite until finally he's full. So each day there was increasing joy. Because every time Beis Hillel holds that every single moment that you spend doing another mitzvah, every tiny drop of mitzvah that you spend, every tiny moment that you spend doing a mitzvah adds more kedusha. Asher kedusha of mitzvah adds more kedusha into your life. Every single day, there's more kedusha that's being infused into your life with the lighting of an additional candle. Kedusha, when a Jew is holy, and the more holiness you bring into life, the greater joy you have in your life. That brings more simcha into your life. So since the joy of this holiness is increased with each day of fulfilling the mitzvah, Svila Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says that the first night you light 1 candle. It's a little bit of simcha. You had a taste. You had just a little bit of a taste. It was good. But it's made you hungrier for more. You add more. That's the deeper meaning of Malam B'Kurdish. Increasing holiness. And that's the holiness of Yosef HaTzadik, of course, and the parashas of Yosef HaTzadik, which I spoke about a little bit on Shabbos, that the name of Yosef means the name Yosef means Moisef HaHelech, means to increase more, and his chadshus means each day there's this increasing excitement. There are people who each day of their lives, it makes them less excited with life. When they were children, so when they just came to the world, so there's very big excitement and happiness. And then as they get older and older and older, then the simchas achaim decreases, God forbid. But then there's the Inyan of Yosef HaTzadik. It says about Yosef HaNar, and he was a child. And the Karech of Yosef HaTzadik is that even as he gets older, even if he gets older, the simcha, the joy is Yosef HaHailach, more and more and more joy, more simcha sachayim, more of Yosef HaShem, more. So you understand that when Yaakov thought that Yosef HaTzadik was gone, that there was no hope. Because what hope is there for a people or a religion that's just getting older and older and older until God forbid, it just drops dead? Yosef HaTzadik is the Karech of Klai Yisrael to be Yosef HaHailach, HaHailach HaMaisav, is to air, to go right there, to more and more and new. That's the Karech of Yosef HaTzadik. That's the Indian base Hillel. This Hillel, which I mentioned many times, that Hillel, the Ashtavis, HaRoifei L'Shvur Elev, the one who heals the broken heart. And with each day, the heart gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And the Hillel, the Ashtavis, L'Hidia L'Vnei HaAdam Gerosav, to spend your life talking, screaming to the whole world about Hashem's greatness is the Rishtavis Hillel, the whole Inyan of Hillel, the Kayach of Hillel, the greatness of Hillel. The Easter of the Gemara, time of the Veshamik, and they get Barach every time of the Veshel, and Mishra Malam HaKadosh. And this is the deeper meaning of Malam HaKadosh. So, you have to hold on to this, and there's a second half to this, and that talks about trusting in Hashem, Bitachin, and joy. So we're going to be able to finish this mission, please. Keep the pages, and we're going to finish this next week, and we should learn more to be Maisa Vaharlach, to get ready for the Yom Tov HaChanukah.